All right, so I mentioned earlier, glad to have Tommy here. I may have said this, I didn't say it this morning, but you know, he and I knew each other in college, got to know each other, and we were running from God, partying our brains out, right? And did not know until after college that both of our dads were pastors, and both of our dads were in the same denomination, and both of our dads went to seminary together. They knew each other. And then God eventually tracked us down. You know, Tommy, I know you'll hear, but I would say, and I've said before, I was running as far from God as I could go, and I ended up running into God. And I know that's Tommy's story as well. So glad to have Tommy with us. There are a couple slides, and Tommy, I'll let you talk. There's a slide on, Tommy's with, he's the Community Relations Director for Changed Lives Ministry, which we've had such a privilege to partner with them this past year in Monk's Corner, South Carolina. And that's their website. You can just Google Change Lives Ministry if you're curious. And then I got a picture of Tommy and his family. I'll let him introduce them, and then he can dive in lead us this morning. Tommy, glad to have you here.
Thank you, Drew. And thank all of y'all at Good News Church for your hearts for Change Lives Ministries, your prayers financially. Speaking as well. Is that good? We good? All right. That's me. Can you tell? See, I have green on there too. So maybe I was a Christmas, St. Patrick's Day. And these are my blended family. That's our two twins, Remy and Waylon. And that's our 7-year-old Harley. And that's my wife, Jill, who is a far better praise and worship singer than I am a speaker. So I'm sorry she couldn't be here, but we've had sick children. One gets better, one gets sick. One gets better, one gets sick. That kind of thing. So she sends her love as well. But thank you for that kind introduction, Drew. And as you mentioned earlier, even after we found out about our fathers, we realized that we went to Christian camp together as children. And so the Lord had just worked in that, and it's a neat story, special story. And I just wanted to come this morning and kind of share God's story, but just understand this, it is absolutely 100% for His glory, okay? His glory is all I'm, that's the only reason I'm standing here, and I'll prove that through my testimony. I'm the Community Relations Director for Change Lives Ministry, and we're a 13-week faith-based program in-house. We have men and women that come. They're broken. They've made bad decisions and just made a mess of their life, and we share with them that through a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, they can overcome their addictions. And just not addiction. So I don't want you to look at me today and think I'm coming, oh, he's going to talk to us about drinking and drugs. I'm not. I'm going to talk to you about sin. We all got it. Whatever label you want on it, you won't. I do get excited. I holler and I scream sometimes. I'm not yelling at you. I love you. And I just get excited about God and how He can transform our lives. Whatever you may be going through, or whatever may be coming your way. Because they say that we're either in a storm, coming out of a storm, or getting ready to go into one. So hopefully we can take some words from Joshua this morning and kind of that applies to our lives. I'm also a youth pastor for Mount Olivet Baptist Church. I'm an FCA speaker at all of our high schools up in South Carolina. Berkeley County. I'm a pastor's prayer time radio pastor. Husband. And a father. I didn't come to give my resume. Because 7 years ago, I was none of those things. I was the furthest from anything I mentioned. I'd walked away from the Lord. I ran. As far as I could, fast as I could. I wanted nothing to do with it. And I wanted to come tell y'all this for a reason. The main reason, the big idea, the proposition statement I would make to you today is that with God's power, nothing is impossible. The victories that we look for, the victories that we want in our life, Jesus Christ walked this earth, tempted as any man was tempted, and did not sin. He was crucified, dead, and buried. And he rose again on the third day. The victory is done. Tetelestai, I think is the word, meaning it is finished. What we have the opportunity to do is walk in that victory. So I hope this morning I can just share with the minutes we have how that's possible. And maybe you're going through something right now. Drew said something earlier. I don't know exactly where we're at today, this morning. Everybody's got stuff, right? We got stuff? Raise your hand if you got stuff. You got stuff? Okay, all right. Well, at least y'all are on. It's good. Right, now we're connecting. We're good communicators supposed to connect with this audience. And I about cried, so I figured that was my connection. So we all got stuff, amen? Listen, that's going to be for your the rest of your life, you're going to have stuff. You'll have stuff, you'll have good stuff, you'll have bad stuff, you'll have medium stuff. Where will you turn to when the stuff comes? That would be the question. Are you going to turn to the world and look out there? Are you going to turn to wherever else is the news, magazines, wherever? Or will you turn to the Word of God when stuff comes your way, and what his promises are, what he has promised us as Christians, as believers in Christ? Will you turn to that? We got a choice. Every morning we make up, we can either seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, or I can seek all the other stuff. It's that easy. You know what I like doing these days? Living in the black and white. I lived in the gray so long, it was exhausting. I'm either serving God or I'm serving Satan. That's it. Period. What we need to do is focus on this word that he's given us. Since the beginning of time, he loved us so much that he wrote it down for us. I'm not very smart, book-wise. Smart aleck, maybe. Book smart, none. So he wrote it down for me. And this morning, I just want to share with you that I have this story where I'm similar to Drew. I grew up in a godly home. Love, fellowship. Well, I'll tell you this, man, I'm sure Drew can relate. If them church doors were open, I was in there. My daddy taught me to learn scripture. I probably knew how to recite John 3:16 since, I don't know, maybe before I could ride a bike, maybe. We were taught the Ten Commandments. Love and honor your mother and father. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. Equally as important, love your neighbor. Drew said earlier, a new command I give you. To love each other as I have loved you. That's Jesus speaking. When we talk about today's power of God and community, you see, we have a community out there that's hurting. They're lost. And if we're not going to love them, they are on a one-way ticket to eternal separation with God. My Bible calls it hell. But God loves us so much that he wants to put us on mission with him so that we can share this good news. My daddy taught us to, you know, respect our elders. You know what? I even knew when I was 5 years old, I could tell you that I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in his Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead and buried, descended into Hades, on the third day rose again from the grave, and on the third day rose up from the grave. And now he sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty, who will judge the living and the dead by 5 years old. I served. I did church work. I did everything you could. I think I had a relationship with Jesus Christ. And it got me nowhere when it came down to it, because a head knowledge is far different than a heart knowledge, right? It's 18 inches from your head to your heart. Hey, there's a lot of people in hell that had a head knowledge, but not a relationship. That's the key, relationships. So as I got to be about 16, 17 year old, I was a good little football player. I was 5'7", 140 pounds with my helmet on, ran about a 4.559. I don't know. It was horrible. Alabama, they didn't call me after I graduated. University of Florida, they didn't call me to play football for them. So I turned from serving God, faith and football. To now I was like, I want to do what everybody else was doing in them years. Those years I said, you know what? I'm not going to do those things because athletes don't do that. I'm too good for that. Or I'm not going to do those things because my daddy's a preacher and I'm hoping I get into heaven on his coattails. Anybody in here like that? I wanted to start doing what others were doing, what the world had to offer. I wanted to see it. And I promise you, I wasn't peer pressured. I was a leader from a young age. They were like a little kid on the playground. They all want to hang out with him. Blah, blah, blah. I had a charismatic personality, I think, is what they say. I did it on my own. Rebellion. See, Paul, he says, this is a trustworthy saying and everybody should accept it. Jesus Christ came in to save sinners. Of the sinners, Paul speaking, I am the worst or chief, depending on which version you like. But here's the key right here. He says this, but God had mercy on me, Paul speaking, so that even the worst of sinners could look at me as a prime example of Christ's love and mercy and patience, and they can realize they could have eternal life. He says he did it out of ignorance. I wish I could go there. I did it out of rebellion. I just wanted to be bad. That's it. I wanted to date inappropriately. I wanted to do everything you could. And as I went into that on my own, guess what it'll do? It'll take you from right there where you wanted to be, and it'll drag you further down and further down. It'll take you farther than you wanted to go, keep you there longer than you wanted to be there, make you pay more than you wanted to pay, and blah, 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 blah. And I went that far. And in that, I turned everything I knew, everything I grew up with, all those things I just told you, Apostles' Creed, Nicene's Creed, I can do them all. I walked all away from that in 2 seconds, and it was gone. And God left me unto myself. He said, all right, well, I'll let you run, son. I'm here. I didn't leave you. I never forsaked you, son. You see, I broke fellowship. I didn't break the relationship. He was still my daddy. But I was not pleasing him. And I was taking people with me. I had 2 younger brothers, and my dad was always like, take care of your brothers. Make sure you take care of them. And as I got older, I straightened up for a while. I had a good job. I went coast to coast, opening up stores for in the boating business, and I got a wife and this and that. And then I wanted just more and more and more and younger and younger. And got divorced from my wife, and my youngest brother came up to help me out through this season of life. He was going to come help me. We were going to transition through this divorce and separation, and that didn't go very well. And we were both brought up under the same roof, under the same Word of God, in the same relationship with Jesus, same everything. And we were living a lifestyle that was so horrific, I couldn't even give you details. So sick and twisted, so criminally insane, I can't even discuss them. So I'll leave you to decide on that. But as I was into this lifestyle, my brother, he was not quite as smart as me. He got caught a lot more than I did. Same stuff, he just got caught. And he was looking at a lengthy, lengthy jail sentence. And we were in a car one day doing illegal activities, and came up to a spot in the road where there was a lot of police activity and EMTs, and I asked him to hold a lot of drugs. Hold it for a second while I get through this mess. And I'm driving, and I look at him and say, don't do nothing stupid with it. I mean, don't throw it out the window, and I got to come back in the middle of the night and find it, that kind of thing. The one, my daddy said, take care of your brother. I put those drugs in his hands, and he ingested those drugs, and he took them intentionally. And I watched him die a tragic, violent death at my hands. He said, hey, he was old enough to do what he wanted to do. Wasn't your fault. That's one side. The other side says, how could you let that happen? You're supposed to be looking out for him. And there's God's side. And he says, you will take ownership for every stinking thing you've ever done before you come back before a holy God. Before he died, before those drugs overtook his system and do what they do, because they come to kill, steal, and destroy. That's it. They want to kill you. They want to kill your family. They want to kill your workplace. They want to kill everybody in your life. And guess who's the boss of that? Satan. He may say, come here for a minute, come have a good time. But behind your back, he say, I'm going to kill him, I'm going to murder him, and I'm going to kill them. And all down, I want that whole generation erased after I'm done using them for my purpose. And you see, I forgot about God's purpose for my life. I had stepped so far away from that. Before those drugs overtook his system, and it was... the drug was cocaine, so it's not something where you just drift off to sleep and you fall asleep. And no death is good, but I've witnessed fentanyl overdose deaths, and I've witnessed a gunshot in front of me death. A cocaine overdose is one of the most violent things I've ever seen in my life. Before that happened, you got to remember, I'm supposed to be watching out for this younger brother of mine. What does Psalm 22:6 it says? Train up the child in the ways of the Lord. When you're older, he won't depart from it. Watch this young man confess his sins to a holy God. And he wasn't trying to save his life at all. He come to a point, the Lord brought him to a point where he gave him a choice. Look, what are you going to do? I watched this young man beg for forgiveness for the things that he had done that went against the kingdom of God. Repentance, it was as genuine as anything I've ever seen in my life. And so I'm sitting there, I didn't understand that God was showing me, hold on, I'm going to flip the script here, and I'm gonna the one you're supposed to be watching, I'm going to show you, me, what you need to do, which is to get down on your knees before a holy God and confess your sins, turn from that lifestyle, and live for me. I wish I could tell you that I did that. But I did. I went so far, I was mad at you. I don't even know you, I was mad at you. I was mad at everybody in this world. Most of all, myself. Disgusted with myself. The way I was brought up, the way the Word of God teaches me to be. So I told God, all right, I'm not going to take my life the way Troy did, but I think I'm smart. I said, if I drink enough, surely I'll die, right? I mean, if you drink enough, just that much drinking, surely. And so I did. And so he delivered. And I got really sick. 10 years I wandered earth. The story of Cain and Abel, and I know the context of that story, but there's a verse in there where it says, I'll wander this earth like a restless wanderer or a fugitive or a vagabond. And for the next 10 years, that's what I did. My life was just maintaining at best. I loved you. I was a hard worker. I drank all day long to forget, to whatever, excuse after excuse. And in that, I got sick. I started getting pancreatitis really bad, and doctor said, this is going to get worse. You're going to die. And I was like, please hurry up the process if you can. One day I came home, and I thought that's what it was. I thought I had pancreatitis, and I said, today's the day. I'm going to die. I'm going to sit here until they come pick my dead body up and haul me out of here. I don't know where I'm going. Don't care. I don't want to be here anymore. Apparently, it's very painful when your small intestine perforates and you sit around waiting. And you get sepsis because you waited, and you're going to wait it out. I get to the hospital. Not only that, I had pneumonia. My heart was beating 250 beats per minute. I had a bacterial infection, cellulitis. My wrist was bigger than my shoulder. They couldn't even get the hoses in there. The doctors that I've been working with for the past year said, this is not the same thing, Mr. Turpin. You have too many infections, and we are not optimistic that you'll recover from the injury that you have to have. You need to call your family and tell them goodbye. That's what a good son I am, left to my own devices. I sign a do not resuscitate. I'm going. He's like, count backwards from 10, and you're going to surgery, and have a good whatever. And I was like, good. Thank you. And I went into those seconds of just, there was relief. These walls that I had put up, these battles that I thought were all mine, they were so big, they were so heavy, they were just suffocating. I was glad. And I wasn't even really sure where I'd be. But God, this is the part of the story where we could pick up and talk about Joshua and victory. There's victory when I didn't even want it. God loves me so much and had such a plan for me. He said, I'm not going to let you die right there. I'm not today anyway. And I came through that surgery, and I woke up, and I don't know y'all's backgrounds very much, but mine's a little shady. And I know when you wake up and you open your eyes and you see fluorescent type style lighting, you're in about three places. You're either in the hospital, detox, or jail. And I realize that I have not died, and that I am still here, and I am fighting mad. I am furious, cussing and hollering, and I was telling God, I knew you didn't love me. You don't want me to devil. He don't want me either, and nobody wants me. I'm going to be stuck here wandering, which is a hell on its own. I was so sick. I was in the hospital for 6 weeks because I had so many different infections. And there was a man that was going through my father, who was a pastor for 53 years, his elders class. And he said, hey, Pastor Jack, you think Tommy's ready to change his life? My dad said, nope. He said, well, would you mind if I go and talk to him? My dad said, sure, you ought to, because he's hooked up to every hose, wire. He can't move. He can't go nowhere, so he has to listen to you. I mean, he's stuck. So this would be a good time. And, I mean, I was so helpless. I was like an infant. If I wanted a drink of water, I have to call a little nurse. Ma'am, can you come get me a water supply? I was pathetic. God will put you in a place. Let me tell you, listen to this skinny preacher right now. You don't have to go to that place, but he will put you flat on your back with hoses sticking out of every hole in your body to get your attention. You know why? Because he loves you. And I don't know who it is in here, but I came to tell somebody that God loves you. One of y'all needed to hear that. I don't know who it is, and I'm not even a prophetic guy. I didn't even want to say that. But somebody in here needs to hear that. You don't have to go to that place I was at. But as this guy would come in, and I did not want to hear from him, I was not polite, I was not Christian, but he'd keep coming back. Bible verses. I'm like, I finished him before he started. I'm like, blah, 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 blah. You know, I was that kind of mean guy. And the nurses would be like, why won't you listen to that man? He's got such nice things going on in his life, and he's like, blah, blah. I'm like, shut up, you two. All of y'all, I don't want to hear none of you. But in that, God was working on my heart. He was softening my heart. My heart had gotten so hard that I couldn't feel. It was like calloused. It was stony. It was stubborn. It was rebellious still to that day. I was not grateful for the breath in my lungs. None of that. I had to tell my parents their other son was going to get taken by addiction. They still never to this day have recovered from the first one. Did I care? No. But I would tell you, I love my mama. I love my son. When he was 13, he said, Daddy, you're the toughest guy. They say you could do anything. You're why can't you quit drinking? Said something smart like, I quit when I want to. Is that love? Is that love? No love in my heart at this point in my life. But he kept coming back day after day. Finally, he made a way for me to come up from Jacksonville, Florida to Monk's Corner, South Carolina. And I was like, where? No. I don't need Monk's Corner. My dad's a preacher. I don't know what monks do. I know. We're not going there. You heard what I did in past. I reluctantly ended up going, and I made a deal with God again. I'm still bargaining with God at this point. You know, a holy God I'm bargaining with a, that's a whole nother sermon. I said, I'll go up there and I'll give it 100%. But you got to show up. Or I am changing my original. I'm going to go out like Troy did one way or the other. I was there for 2 weeks. I felt like he didn't show up. And the day that I was going to leave and going to end my life, sitting at a table doing a Bible study with 14 other men, God broke my heart wide open. You see the walls of Jericho? They were so thick. Chariots could ride across them side by side. They had a wall, another wall, another wall. And God went like this. Boom! They're gone. I got you now, son. I learned about repentance. Shame on me, 47 years living in a pastor's house. I thought you just went repented when you got saved and that was it. No, I never left that part of my life. I was sorry for my brother's death, my part in it. I am still sorry for what I did and what I didn't do. But in that minute, in that second where my heart was busted wide open, transparent, I do not preach hocus pocus type visions or anything like that. So try to see where I'm coming from. I'm a skeptical person. But all I could think about, all I could see was like my life and what it was. And it was horrible. It was dirty. Filthy. And at that same time, in that same moment, I could just, and believe me or don't, I don't care. It was like seeing a picture of Jesus on the cross. It wasn't like a picture. It just was, that was a feeling. But he was on there for me. I knew he went up there for y'all. But I didn't know it was for me. And in that same second, I saw, felt hope. What could be. What God had planned for me. And I did. I went all in. I recommitted my life to Christ and I gave it everything I could give. And I've been doing that for 7 years. Because when he got up on that cross for me and for you and for you, he went all in. He didn't hold nothing back. He put his back to the whip, his head to that crown of thorns. He put his hands to those nails, his feet to the spike, and his side to a spear because he loves you and he loves you and he loved me enough to die a horrible death. And what's worse than that, for the first time in all of humanity and history, he could not be looked upon by his Father because he loved me. How would I tie that into Joshua and Jericho? Because I'll tell you this right now. It doesn't matter what you're going through, whether it's addiction, whether it's PTSD. I don't know what you got. Maybe you're a liar, a backslider. I don't know, but God loves you either way. I've been all them things. You can't fix it at all. But God can. My Bible says, doctor told me when I came out of that surgery, told my family, he will, this was in May, he will be dead by the end of summer. And humanly speaking, he was correct. End of summer, I was graduating from Change Lives Ministries. 3 months, 2 months after that, I was the manager there. 2 months after that, I was getting married. 2 months after that, I was a preacher. 2 months after that, I was ordained as a Southern Baptist pastor. It goes on and on. Why? Because of Joshua's power? Why? Because of the Israelites? No, because God's power. God did all that for Joshua, all that for the Israelites, and he will do that in your life for whatever you got. Somebody in here is dealing with struggles today. Do you know my God, my Savior, can take that? Leave it at the foot of the cross. And step into this new life like the Israelites did. He says, be strong and courageous. This life ain't easy. Anybody that tells you it is, when you become a Christian, it's going to be rainbows, butterflies. They're a liar and a fraud, and we can meet outside and have a biblical chat about it. It's horrid to say that. All hell may break loose when you come to know the Lord. But by his power, his mercy, his grace, he'll be right next to you when it does break loose, because he said, even the gates of hell won't prevail against me. My God overcomes. And how do we overcome? By the power of our testimony and the blood of the Lamb. We're getting ready to celebrate Easter coming up, right? What do we think about when we think about this? Joshua was a type of Christ. And when I say that, don't mistake me. But in picture, he delivered the people 3 days, and in it, we have a Redeemer, New Testament, that says in Hebrews, the writer says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. You can stand on that. whatever you're going through today, whatever has got you. Relationship failing, wayward children, loss of life of a loved one. I've gone through all of those things. Do you know you can still have joy in the midst of those circumstances? Rather than picking up a bottle or a drug or step into a worse relationship, because that relationship with Jesus Christ is the most powerful thing on the planet. We say that at Change Lives Ministries, and I am their spokesperson, but I'm also a satisfied customer. He will do that in your life. But you got to, number one, first of all, God called Joshua to lead the people. You got to have a relationship with him. If you don't have a relationship with him today, today would be a good day to start. If you have been backsliding, you say, hey, look, preacher, I said a prayer when I was younger, and I'm just not sure what that looks like right now. Hey, man, today would be a good day. I'll pray with you. We'll sort it out. Or maybe you're this guy that says, you know what? I said a prayer when I was little. I walked that aisle. But did you walk to Calvary? I got washed. I got baptized. But were you washed in the blood? Today you could make sure that you know that you know that you know when you walk out that door, your eternal salvation is secured. My God says that. You know how I know he loves you so much? I'll tell you, and we can finish with this. Because 2,000 years ago, he sent his son, his only begotten son. I love y'all, but I love my son too, and I ain't gonna put him on a cross for not one of you. But God put his only begotten son, knew no sin, became sin, suffered mercilessly at the hands. He was spit on, pain inflicted, crucified, dead. He didn't faint. He didn't pass out. He was dead. But on the third day, God raised him up. It was for a reason. Just like Joshua was led, he had a calling, so do y'all. So do we. Jesus said, I've been given all authority on heaven and earth. Therefore, go and make disciples of all the nations, baptize them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. That's talking to every single one of us. Know this, he says, teach these new disciples the commands I've taught you. And know this, I will be with Jesus speaking. I will be with you till the end of the age. Through whatever trials you're going through whatever storms come your way, through whatever going on in your life, Jesus says, I will be with you. 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 So today, if you want to speak to me or to Drew or anybody like that about serious stuff that you can't, it's impossible that you can get out of, Jesus can get you out of it and walk you through it. Amen. Father, I thank you for today. I thank you for your people here. I thank you for loving us enough to send your son. Thank you for your mercy and your grace. Lord, I pray as we come into this Holy Week season, let it not be a season. Let us resound in our hearts throughout the year. Let other people see us as imitators of you. Father, we need strength and courage for that. You tell Joshua 3 times, be strong and courageous. Be very strong and courageous. Haven't I told you to be strong and courageous? We need you, Lord. We need to come and show this community how much you love them too. You took 12 ordinary fishermen, tax collectors, and you changed the world with them. I pray we empty our hearts right now today. And you would break our hearts for what breaks yours. I pray now, Lord, that you would bless these folks. Bless them and keep them. May your face shine upon them and be gracious to them. May you lift up your countenance and give them peace. Definitely now, because we know you'll be there in the life eternal. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.